Our scripture reading is from Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 18 through chapter 9, verse 1. This was written about 2,500 years ago, but it sounds so much like today. I drown in grief. I am heartsick. Oh, listen, please listen. It's the cry of my dear people reverberating through the country. Is God no longer in Zion? Has the king gone away? Can you tell me why they flaunt their plaything gods, their silly imported no gods before me? The crops are in, the summer is over, but for us nothing has changed. We're still waiting to be rescued. For my dear broken-hearted people, I'm heartbroken. I weep, seized by grief. Are there no healing ointments in Gilead? Isn't there a doctor in the house? So why can't something be done to heal and save my dear, dear people? I wish my head were a well of water and my eyes fountains of tears so I could weep day and night for my casualties among my dear, dear people.
Let us pray. God, speak to us. Amen. My first church wound that I ever received was when I was 19 years old. Many of you have heard parts of this story before, but I was raised in the church and thrived in the church. It was my home base. It was the place that nurtured me, the place I went every Sunday night for youth group, the place that recognized gifts and skills within myself and said that I should become a pastor and a preacher. It was everything to me. It was what helped to fund my college, to go on and study religion. And when I was 19, all of a sudden, because of who I was discovering myself to be on deeper levels, I was no longer part of that church. I was no longer allowed to be ordained to become who I was supposed to become. And that hurt, as you can imagine. I have to say that for most parts of that wound, it has been healed. And I think the reason it's been healed is because I was welcomed somewhere else in the United Church of Christ. I was affirmed, I was told that I was loved, and that I didn't need to change who I was, that I did have gifts that were wanted and needed in this world. There is probably a piece of that wound that is not healed yet, and probably won't be healed until the United Methodist Church ordains LGBT people. But until that day, mostly that wound is healed for me. My second wound, I learned a lot about church wounds from. It happened at my last church. And I realized that this relationship that we have with each other, congregations and pastors, is an amazing relationship. And you all, by calling me to be your pastor, give me much power. And I have to make sure not to abuse that power. In some church wounds, lay people have been deeply hurt and wounded by clergy. There are numerous stories of scandals in the Catholic Church, of abuse. We all have our own stories that we could tell that we've heard or experienced ourselves when clergy wound lay people. Lay people also have the ability to wound each other. In church, we're like a family, and sometimes we don't all get along. We have conflict, which is normal and healthy, but sometimes it does not ever get resolved, and it hurts, and it stings, and it remains. Sometimes clergy can be wounded by church people. I had that happen to me, even though, to this day, I feel that my church, where I came from, is still one of the most loving churches, and it's deep within my heart. And it just showed me that even in the most healthy churches, we wound each other, and we recover from that. I had been at my church for 1 year when I asked for an annual review, because I thought that's what happened. And I was told, we don't review the clergy. And so I thought, okay. And then the second year went by, and there was no review. And then 2.5 years into my pastorate there, I went through a very difficult experience personally. I separated from my partner of 7 years. And even though it looked like on the outside to everyone else that it was amicable and it was going okay, if you've been through a separation, even if it looks that way, you can probably tell your own stories that it's not always how it feels on the inside. I was depressed and in grief and not having the spark in my step as I usually did. And I did not fully care for the people as I usually do. I just didn't have it. And it was at that time, and I know that I wasn't fully doing my job to the best of my ability, and my people did not feel as cared for. And then a review was called for. And so it hurt. There was a lot of truth in the review, and they didn't know what I was feeling. And then a year later, I asked for my own review because I thought, I want this to be scheduled and regular and not just to come when it hurts, when I'm down at my worst. I stayed for 4 more years, and I got better, and I realized that I was doing the best that I could at the time and that the people were doing the best that they could at their time. And it's still an awesome, healthy, wonderful, loving church, and I love them so much. And yet, and even still, we hurt each other because we were in relationship with each other. Over the past month, I've always been meeting with people face-to-face and hearing stories, and what struck me in this past month is that the last 8 people I talked to face-to-face told me their own stories, and it involved church wounds, and there was a theme threaded through, and I felt that God was calling me to preach on this topic. And there are so many wounds that we carry from churches. Some of us carry wounds from being LGBT people, and being shunned out of churches or told that we're sick and sinful, not being allowed to participate anymore. Some of us have church wounds because we have children that were LGBT and the church shunned our families. Some of us have wounds from getting a divorce and having the church body shun us because of that. Some of us have church wounds from this church, from Church of the Open Arms, and from Cathedral of Hope. Even in the most inclusive, welcoming, loving places, we get into conflict with each other and we don't always resolve it. I was at a friend's house on Friday night, and we were all watching RuPaul's Drag Race All Season TV show, which is awesome. There was a lot of LGBT people in the room. And afterwards, I said, I'm working on this sermon, and I just want to ask you all 2 questions, if you would be so kind as to answer. I said, have you ever had a church wound? And if so, is it now healed? Not everybody spoke, but a majority of people did speak, and they told of their church wounds. And so the answer was yes. They had been kicked out of churches, been told that they're going to hell, had rumors spread about them, been judged by people in buildings that are labeled as churches. No one specifically said that their wound had been healed, but from what I could gather, it sounded like for a majority of people, it still hurt. And a lot of people found themselves in exile outside of the church, not able to step foot in because of the hurt and pain that they still experience from being treated that way. I started to wonder if everyone has had a church wound. And so I called up my very good friend, who is straight and white and male and married and a pastor in the church, and I said, have you received a church wound? And he said, yes and no. He said, no, not personally, because the church has catered to me in every part of my identity. But he said, yes, because I love you, Kayla. And the church has hurt you, and I love you, and so that wound hurts and affects me as well. This made me very sad, of course, as we all are, I would imagine, to hear about all of these wounds. Our scripture, which Suzanne read for us today, comes from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the longest book in the whole Bible. He was born about 650 years before Jesus. He was born at a very important time in the life of the Hebrew people. Before he was born, the Hebrew people had already been formed by Father Abraham and Mother Sarah. They had been in the land and experienced a famine. They had gone to Egypt, where there was food. They stayed there over many generations. And over time, the Hebrew people became enslaved. Moses was called to come and rescue the people from slavery. He came and brought them out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, through 40 years of wandering through the desert. They chose among them judges to be in charge of their people and then kings. They had gotten themselves back on track with God. They had gotten the Ten Commandments from the high mountain, and they had started to follow them. And Jeremiah was born, and when he was a youth, he was called to become a prophet. A prophet is a person who speaks truth to power. A person who doesn't sugarcoat what they see is going on, who tells it like it is, even if it's not popular. A person who observes what's going on in the spiritual life of people and says what they see coming down the pipeline if we continue in this manner. The people had begun to wander away from their spiritual lives. They did not put God first. They put material items, fame and fortune, other idols before God. They didn't live a spiritual life connected in union with God. And Jeremiah called out to the people the words that we heard today. He was very sad. He said, I drowned in grief. I'm heartsick. Can you tell me why they flaunt their plaything gods, their silly imported no gods before me? My dear broken people, I'm heartbroken. I weep, seized by grief. Are there no healing ointments in Gilead? Why can't something be done? I wish my head were a well of water and my eyes fountains of tears so I could weep day and night for casualties among my dear, dear people. After his prophecy, the people were overcome by Babylon. A great kingdom came and demolished the temple and took the leaders and others and exiled them to Babylon. They lived outside of their home base, outside of their spiritual community for many years. They lived in sorrow and in sadness and not being able to connect to the place of their spiritual home. And that's what I have seen when I've heard these stories of people in exile, disconnected from their spiritual lives or their spiritual communities. Part of me really wanted to be able to provide a step-by-step methodology for how to heal church wounds. I thought, why don't I just look up on the internet how to heal a flesh wound and just spiritualize it? That'll work, right? At first it was working. One of the first steps to heal a wound is to clean it out. It says with a mild solution, so that the infection cannot continue to contaminate your wound. And I thought, that makes sense. For those of us who are in places where we are continually have the opportunity to be infected by voices that tell you that you're not okay by who God made you to be, that can cause some serious infection if you don't get that away from the wound. So you have to remove that. But the more I went on and I saw these step-by-step instructions for how to heal a wound, I realized that no step-by-step instruction heals all wounds, and everybody has a different list. Western medicine has its list. Eastern medicine has its list. Shamanic or indigenous ways have their own ways of healing wounds, and not every way will heal all wounds, and all wounds heal differently. kind of wanted the answer to how to heal a wound, being a Christian pastor of two amazing churches, to be, well, just come to our churches and that'll do it. I wanted that to be the answer. And it has been for some people, but it's not everybody's answer, and it can't heal everyone. Our contemporary reading for today talks about Jesus and his wounds. He used his wounds as an authority. Jesus had his own church wounds as well. The first thing that happened after he was baptized and came out of the desert and began his public ministry was that he started preaching and teaching in the synagogues and the temples. And he finally got around to teaching in Nazareth, where he was from. And he unrolled the scroll, and it was Isaiah, and he talked about bringing release to the captives and all these wonderful things. And the people had heard about the good things he had done everywhere else, and they were just waiting because they thought that they were more special because Jesus came from Nazareth, and they were in Nazareth, and they thought they were the chosen ones, and that he was going to do extra special things for them because God must love them better. And Jesus kind of said, no, I don't think that's true. God loves all, and you're not extra special, more so and above everyone else. And they didn't like that, and they ran him out of the synagogue to the end of town, almost over a cliff. And I wonder, do you think that he got a church wound from that experience? But he didn't stop. Mostly after that, he preached and teached outdoors, on hillsides and in boats. But he remained with the people, and he continued to form spiritual community. He used his wounds as an authority, and he said, I've been there. I've been there. Sometimes when we receive a wound, it's true, we become a victim. But if we nurse those wounds and lick them and focus solely upon them, we become part of a victim archetype, where we live as an identity of a victim. And that becomes who we are. We elicit all this sympathy, and it feels good to have other people empathize with us. But we don't turn that wound into a place of power where we can help other people. That's why support groups are so healing. You hear that you're not the only one. You're not the only one who's been through this. You use your wound to help heal other people with similar wounds. I do believe that church wounds are so difficult because oftentimes it disconnects us from God. Sometimes we transfer the experience that happened through people and think that that's how God feels about us. I did that at first with my 19-year-old church wound. I thought God felt that way about me. And then I wasn't part of spiritual community for a while. And we need spiritual community. It's true that we don't have to go to a church in order to be a good person or to have a relationship with God. But too often when we don't have a place and a people that we focus on our spiritual lives with, we leave it to the back burner and we don't attend to it. We don't have a place to plug in our gifts and our purpose and to share what we have with each other. I didn't come up with a step-by-step healing manual, but I did reflect on some things that I do think heal church wounds. Time, in some cases. Therapy, for many people. Patience. Grace. Forgiveness. Jesus experienced some of the biggest wounds we could ever imagine. And one of the last words he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So many of us do the best that we can with what we have at the time, and yet we still hurt each other. We all make mistakes, but when someone makes a mistake against us, we want the other person to feel as bad as we did. We want them to be in punishment. We want them to feel hurt because we're hurt. But forgiveness is a healing balm. And when we do not experience forgiveness, when we do not receive it or give it out, our own anger and our own wounds can become like a toxic poison that we keep drinking and that continues to wound us from the inside out. And of course, another healing balm is love that we heard about in our song today. How do you measure your time? By your wounds? By the love that you can measure? Hurt people go on to hurt people, and it keeps the cycle going. But if we do not ignore our wounds, we have the opportunity to enter a healing journey with each other. I don't think one sermon fixes all our church wounds. I know that. But this is a place where we don't ignore our owies, where we admit them and we share them with each other, because sharing lessens the load that each one of us carries on our own. So I know that this is a place that we can journey together toward healing. May God be with us in our healing journey. Amen.